You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento is known to have a loyal and strong fan base when it comes to soccer. Of course, there's been the years-long push to get Sac Republic FC to the MLS level, but women's soccer has also been behind a growing appetite for U.S. soccer. The U.S. women's team is ranked second in the world behind Spain, and the first-tier National Women's Soccer League also welcomed more than 1 million fans last season, breaking league records. And that excitement has trickled down to local soccer fields. Lower division teams are already in cities like Davis and Stockton, and now a new team is joining their ranks. The city of Roseville was announced as the home of one of the newest expansion teams in women's soccer. The team is named Iron Rose FC, and its inaugural season in the Women's Premier Soccer League, it kicks off later this year. And the team is also having open tryouts this weekend, January 13th. Joining us now is Evan Nudener with the Roseville Youth Soccer Club and a managing partner of Blue Ribbon Football Group, the owners of Iron Rose FC. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
It's a big year, 2024. So I would love to just start with your background. What got you into soccer?
Great question. My mom is half Irish, so it always kind of was there. But I played all sports growing up, and I'm a big believer in a multi-sport background. So I did martial arts, basketball, soccer. Soccer stuck with me, and it felt a little different, especially when I played over in Europe at a very young age. And then a couple of moments, just having things on TV, like the 2005 Champions League from Liverpool, which gave me my love for Liverpool, really gave me hope. And I think that's kind of what the sport is about. So that's what brought me into my, I guess, 20-year on-the-field, off-the-field career.
Yeah, and your partner is also involved in soccer as well, correct? So
yeah.
It's kind of a package deal.
Oh my God, yeah, she's a legend. She plays right now in the NWSL for the Orlando Pride. We met in college actually, and it's been awesome, kind of growing together. I mean, in a sense that both starting out in university, taking our chances over in Europe, things working, things not, learning the off the field stuff, and now in a sense she just re-signed with Orlando for a 3-year deal, and it's great to see the growth as we're all growing as people as well. Because now, I mean, her contract's a lot better than it was, 10 years ago, and she was able to do it all herself, right? Like, she didn't need anybody else, an agent or an intermediary. She understood the business from growing in it, and I'm excited about her season. I'm excited about all the women's soccer kind of in the coming 5 years, as there's a major growth. I think after the World Cup was pretty incredible to see. So
yeah, it can be easy to take for granted, the place that women's soccer holds in the United States now, and it's continuing to grow. But given that you, and your fiance, you started really young, and so let's say like over a decade ago, maybe 2 decades ago, is it surprising to see, kind of the footprint that it's taking up now?
It's actually, when you gave the intro, it was really interesting to hear that America is in second place. You know what I mean? It's been a long time since we were like comfortably in second place, because there have been so many legends in the American game on the women's side who kind of paved the way. At the same time, though, which is really good, that draft has brought the European game up. And so, yeah, it's great to see more on a global stage how big the footprint is, because there's always been a great footprint for women's soccer in the United States, just because American likes winners. We used to win almost ruthlessly and relentlessly in a way. And now the world is catching up, and I'm kind of excited to see our pivot, our next step to retake that position of number one. But in reality, I think the bigger footprint, the bigger global stage has been all over the world. For example, the Matildas, like in Australia, their jersey sells better than the men's. And
nice.
Like in England women's, the women's champions, the women's Super League, they're starting to sell out men's stadiums. So it's nice to see that growth, and they mirror what we could also have in hopefully the very near future.
When did you begin thinking about, going from just a love for the game, an athlete yourself, to actually moving into the business side, the managerial side of soccer?
Yeah, good question. I think playing sports and trying to be a professional is a very humbling experience. And you find out exactly who you are and what you can do very early on. on a quick kind of tangent, I grew up in like a small business. So I was always in a business sense. Like my dad taught me a lot about just the business world. And while I was playing, a couple of injuries plus, you know, just kind of tapping into that side, realized that you probably need something else. But at the same time, you realize that there's tons of opportunities within the sport to kind of continue your career. So as I was going, I caught a really bad break. Literally, I broke my ankle very badly when I was like 22. It was the first pause in my life where I was like, maybe there's something else. So I started a company while I was in Europe, and I wanted to basically extend the opportunities that I was given, whether it was university, trips, a life, culture, understanding of the world, both sides of it. And I think you could do that through sport. And so the business side of me of sport wants to just offer the opportunities that I can have, or offer the opportunities that can be brought through sport. And then it's I guess it's a testament to both of me and my fiance's lives of, you know, our lives are through sport.
Yeah.
And it's given us everything.
Yeah, it's much more than a passion or a job. It's definitely a part of your identities as well, and a big part of your life. So that brings us to Iron Rose FC. I mean, obviously it is here. You know, this is the inaugural year. But what led to the formation of this semi-pro team?
A lot of things. A lot of things had to go right, in a sense, for this to happen. And it's, you know, from all of the things we've been doing behind the scenes with Blue Ribbon to the president of Roseville Youth Soccer Club reaching out on LinkedIn to ask actually about somebody else. So last year about this, maybe about 2 months ago this time, the president of Roseville Youth Soccer Club reached out to me on LinkedIn while I was getting my master's in football business in Barcelona, and was asking if anybody I knew would be interested in a position in Roseville. And took a second and I said, you know, this is a really good position. I might be interested in this. So I called him back and I was really interested in the opportunity, because Roseville, I think, offers not just in theory a blank canvas, but a very blossoming city and a really big opportunity, because I think it's where everybody's going. Obviously, the numbers could tell you it's growing in population. People are moving.
It's, I think, the fastest or one of the fastest growing areas in the state.
Exactly. There's the participation in youth soccer in the area is astounding. Even in our club, Rose Youth Soccer Club, 4,000 members. It's a mind-blowing, especially coming from New York. You know, you hope to get 200. 4,000 bought in for 40 years. We think that there's tremendous upside. But we're just one of five clubs in the area that have a really big recreational program. And I think recreation is where I started and got my love, besides the, you know, viewing the games. And it's a way to introduce soccer that maybe hasn't been introduced before, because it maybe is a little further out and the exposure isn't there. But after a couple of conversations, I knew this was the right opportunity, and I'm really glad that the board kind of bought into a new approach, because we changed a lot and it's been a big year.
How long did this take to actually become a reality? I would imagine, you know, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes to actually, you know, given this the green light in Roseville.
Oh, it was, I mean, a lot did happen. It was a couple of good calls, but when it's right, it's right. You know what I mean? We felt that the president, Kevin Stringer, he has a background in Europe, painted the picture of what it could happen. And I mean, to be fair, he is an unbelievable salesman, like top of the top. And he painted a good picture. The board supported it, and the people in the club in the city were very welcoming to open it up. And we were aligned from the beginning to create a pathway. And the whole goal of this is to recreate something in Europe. And put it in Roseville, because everything in Roseville kind of can mirror what is in Europe. A lot of young families, a lot of ambitious families, a lot of, you know, very talented people and players in all sports that are overlooked, I think, that maybe just haven't had a light shined on them. So the board, the club empowered me to make the decisions. And I've had a lot of great guidance from my group, Blue Ribbon, to help and get everything together. After that, it was paperwork, figuring things out, and we were off in the races.
What went behind the name? What's the symbolism of Iron Rose?
So in creating a brand and creating an identity with the club, you want to look to the history. And Roseville, historically, has been a major area for locomotion. I mean, the old city of Roseville used to be called Junction City. Mm-hmm. There is an unbelievable setup, especially in downtown Roseville, where I feel like there's a lot of culture, a lot of grit, a lot of personality, and there's a huge train scene. It's just a lot of railroads and a good feeling of, you know, I would say, you know, past and present. And I think, you know, I wish there were more trains in the world just because I love public transit, but that's the iron side of it. And you could go iron horse, but we wanted to keep that strength. And I think Roseville has a lot of strength and grit. And then the other side is the Rose. So that's like the new age of the city, of the club, of the identity. It's like old and new coming together. It's kind of the strong and beautiful. It's also two sides of our, you know, we're a men's and women's team, but it's, you know, and that's not why iron and Rose, but there's a dichotomy of very strong, hardworking, you know, put your nose down, get things done. And then the beauty that what Roseville can become. So that's the idea behind it. So Iron Rose is a metallic rose, and we had a lot of work done on, you know, focus groups, you know, help, and finally we got to, I think, what is a beautiful brand and logo.
You mentioned that there will be a men's and women's team. That's going to come further down the line, the men's soccer team?
Yeah, there'll be a men's team in 2025, mm-hmm. But I think it was also very important for us to start with the women's. And a lot of things kind of came into place, but I think really personally there's a better crop of women athletes, people in the area, and you can see by, you know, what the players produced. I mean, Megan Rapinoe's from the area, but just a lot of good development in Placer County, in Northern California for women. And it's good to lead with that. And I think that it's always been overlooked, and especially women's soccer. So I think it was really important to start out with the women and then lead the next year with both teams. Mm.
So Iron Rose FC is going to be playing within the WPSL. That's the Women's Premier Soccer League. Tell us more about what the league is.
So the league is, it's really incredible because, I mean, 50% of the girls, women, who played in the NWSL Championship last year played in the WPSL. The other were international. So astounding numbers. I mean, if anybody really wants to look on the website, all the alumni that ever played, Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Rose Lavelle, Tobin Heath, you can name it, just of cast. It's a very consistent, reliable league that has always housed players in the summer who have been coming back. It's always been an extension, an opportunity to play. It's always been there. Like, for example, when there's been professional leagues or not, there's always been the WPSL. It's always been consistent. It's always found its niche, and it's very comfortable where it is. For reference, Peter Wilt, who is part of the Blue Ribbon Football Group, mm-hmm. done so much for the game. He's brought 13 teams to the WPSL. I think his Chicago House Women's was his 14th, if I'm not mistaken. I hope maybe he corrects me later.
That's all good background.
Yeah, I mean, sport is a meritocracy, but it's about giving chances. And the group gave me a chance. You know, Roseville's giving me a chance, and I would like to give Roseville a chance. And I'd like to give them, everybody, a chance to kind of show on a more of a national stage, especially as the city and the club is growing.
And now you're all building, you know, a well-rounded team. I mean, you still have work to do this year. You're going to be having open tryouts, I believe, this weekend. I mean, what are you looking for? I mean, I would imagine there's already a good amount of excitement to potentially try out or be part of management or coaching, given that you have like 4,000 athletes, you know, locally that are aware and are excited about women's soccer.
Yeah, and if I don't mind, the California Storm, who are also in the WPSL, they've done an incredible job to continue and like really highlight what WPSL could be, and there was a lot of data points that led us to do it based on the excitement for the California Storm, which made a lot of sense.
And they're located in Davis, right?
Yeah.
So do you think there could be like a rivalry in the future, given that you're part of the same league?
I really hope so. I think rivalries are the best part of sport, games that mean something. You know, you don't want to just show up and maybe be too friendly. I think that's a little bit of the issue that people have with the NBA, and what people really like about the NFL is that there's a sort of desperation. There's a hometown feeling, and this is Roseville's team, and I hope we can get behind it and find some reason to win, and also get behind maybe a little animosity toward, you know, now I'm not going to say an outsider, but at the same time, we have a little bit of pride for our hometown team, and in this situation.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Evan Nutter from Roseville Youth Soccer Club and Blue Ribbon Football Group about a new semi-pro women's team in soccer coming to Roseville, and is called Iron Rose FC. So let's talk about the partnership with Roseville Youth Soccer Club. How do you envision this will develop over the years?
I think it's a really important part of the growth of Iron Rose, and it's important for the growth of the city. So the city is putting in a 10-field turf complex in the west part of town, kind of showing how much the city's growing, how important soccer is. And we're the largest club by far in the area. And we think that as we're growing, as we're expanding, and to be clear, Roseville Youth Soccer Club is a volunteer-run club. And it's the most beautiful thing, because that's how it should be. Education is what we really put forth, and we put our stamp on coaches' education, player education. And as we have the education and potentially exposure of Iron Rose, we can continue to expose our coaches and players to something that maybe can be and grow their base. And at the same time, as Roseville Youth Soccer Club does improve, then of course Iron Rose will improve, because that's the pathway, right? So two hands kind of, you know, shaking each other, washing each other in a really positive way, because a club is only as good as its community. And the community is Roseville, and Roseville Youth Soccer Club is a staple in the community. So I think as Iron Rose, maybe takes the lead at this point, that'll just increase, I would say, the importance of Roseville Youth Soccer Club, that it can funnel and continue to funnel players and coaches into the first team.
Yeah, I mean, creating a strong foundation or roots to help Iron Rose FC grow, you know, when you already have such a great foundation of talent, you know, young talent and excitement.
Young talent, but also coaches. We hosted a C license last year that gave 16 coaches their C license. So I think educating players and promoting players is really important. But I think what the United States kind of lacks is coaching and experts. Experts, you know, evaluating the game, but coaches coaching the game. So if you can empower and educate coaches and put them in a situation, they have, you know, access to 20 players at a time. And it's really a better model to develop the coaches. And Roseville does that to a T. We have 200 and something coaches on the recreational side that we provide coaches education for every month. Plus we, you know, offer them sessions and support. And on our competitive side, the same thing. Directors to help our coaches be better, because fixing, you know, having people kind of almost take it out of the coach's hands and run the session and make it easy for them doesn't make anybody grow. So I would rather, in a lot of ways, develop our coaches so that, you know, they can develop our players. And that is the formula that Roseville's put together, and it's a really beautiful one, because our goal is to not only have players come from Roseville Soccer Club, but coaches and staff, because Iron Rose is not just a place for players, but executives, coaches, players, interns, for everybody to kind of develop.
What would you like people to know about tryouts this weekend?
It's come out. It should be fun. Hopefully the rain doesn't deter anybody. I know this is an area where, oh my God, it's raining.
I know.
110 degrees, no problem. But the rain,
you won't melt.
Yeah. No, come out. And if you're in the area to watch, by all means. It's completely open.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I meet the potential coaches. We're hopefully going to be announcing the head coach in the coming days. So stay tuned for that. Come out to tryouts to meet some of the people involved, because we have five or six, probably more people coming out to help out in the interim. And it shows a lot of the support, but also the talent that's in the area. We have Mo Ruiz from Mad Skills, great following, great program, great product. He's helping out. He'll probably be involved in some way. Max Alvarez, who works for Roseville Youth Soccer Club, actually a Sac State alum, played at Sac Republic. He's going to be there. My fiance will be there. Omobi Okugo, who is Forbes 30 under 30, he'll be there. Come out and say hi. Meet the people. Take some pictures. And if you're a player and you want to take a chance and you're overlooked, come on by. We'd love to have you.
When does the season kick off?
It'll be in May. So
that's quick.
Hell yeah.
You have a lot to build in just like a short amount of time. Evan, thank you so much, and really excited for this new team in our area.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. We're excited as well.
And that is Evan Nettener of Roseville Youth Soccer Club and Blue Ribbon Football Group, the ownership behind the new women's soccer team, Iron Rose FC. They're going to be holding their first open tryouts this weekend on January 13th, and their inaugural season kicks off very quickly later this year, closer to May, right? Still ahead, many people are participating in Dry January, maybe as a way to reset, save money, improve your health. But that doesn't mean you can't still have a good time. We're going to have some recommendations on where you can enjoy Dry January across Sacramento. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.